All right, so our first guest has played perhaps the most well-known redheaded stepchild of all time. He played Sam on the 80s mega hit Different Strokes, one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And that was actually him singing right there, and I got a million questions about that. Let's get him on the line right now. Danny Cooksey, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. What's happening, man? How you doing?
Dude, I need to know about this song. What's the first thing that pops in your head when you hear that song?
You know what? There was a lot of things that popped. It's not every day that you get put on hold, and the hold music is your song from 1991 or something like that. Actually, the first thought that popped in my head was, God, it's been a long time since I heard that.
How many CDs did you put out with good? What is it? Bad for Good.
Bad for Good.
Yeah, Bad for Good. Yeah, with the number four in there because that was tricky. just one. We just put out the one. We were in the midst of preparing for the second one, and it sort of fell apart.
Well, there's rumors that Stevie Vai put that whole band together.
Yeah, it was he produced it, and of course the guitar player was in his music video, and then Interscope Records had signed him, and they sort of put together a band around him, and we went in, and gosh, I think we rehearsed for about a year or so like that, and then we went in and, wow, and did the record and opened up for Joe Satriani for a little bit and
wow,
did some shows on our own, and it was a lot of fun. It was interesting.
Now, a lot of people know you even as a kid singing country songs. I know you were on Johnny Carson singing, and how do you go from country to something like that? I mean, that was pretty heavy for back in the day in 91, 92.
Yeah, it was my musical, background is sort of, it was different. I grew up in Oklahoma, and so listened to pretty much like the first music until I was, probably 7 years old was pretty much all country. And it was like the sort of like outlaw country of the 70s, and like my grandparents, like Hank Williams, Ernest Tubb, the older like legends of like 50s country.
Yeah.
and then a little bit of sort of like Lynyrd Skynyrd sort of southern rock thrown in there, and then got out to Different Strokes, and that's when out in Los Angeles the world changed. I got opened up to rap music was just sort of coming into its own at that time in like 1984. So it's like I went from like country to like rap and like
who was your favorite
soul
rapper
and all that stuff, and then slowly melted my way back into like the rest of the Beatles and Bob Dylan and things like that. And there's not music that I don't like. Well, actually there is, but I'll be PC and say that I like everything.
Well, I'm like now picturing in my head Sam phase, like the end of Different Strokes, you dressed like all wiggered out listening to what, Run DMC? Like, what was your rap group of choice?
I was, I saw Run DMC in concert with the Beastie Boys at the Hollywood Bowl, with the Griffith, what's one of the other theaters here in Los Angeles? And I loved Run DMC. I loved the Beastie Boys, of course, and Public Enemy and N.W.A.
Oh, see, I would love to watch Sam like hanging out with N.W.A. like getting backstage passes and just chilling with like Cube and Eazy-E, Yella.
I would have loved that. I remember I did a Hollywood Star. It was like the Dodger Stadium, like Hollywood Stars Night. And Ad Rock was there. Adam Horvitz from the Beastie Boys was there, and I was like so stoked.
Is that like? Do you get starstruck often though? I mean, you've been in LA for now for like almost 30 years.
Yeah, to a certain degree. I mean, it's really cool to meet. I remember like a few, not really starstruck, but I mean, a few occasions that I was like, that's really, that was one where I was like, well, that's really awesome. I can't, it's like, the Beastie Boys. Another time I was at a studio and I was doing a cartoon, and Ringo Starr was standing outside, like the studio, just sort of hanging around. And that was the one time that I got nervous. I did. My mom was like, why don't you go up and, say something? I was like, what am I going to say? I turned into a blubbering idiot. I didn't feel. I ended up not saying anything. I just stood there, like, staring at him like some schmuck. I'm sure he's been stared at like that a million times.
Oh,
every
yeah.
day. Excuse me, I got a bit of a cough here.
Well, you know what? You mentioned Different Strokes before, and as a kid, I was always fascinated with the show. It's one of like the first sitcoms I remember watching. I'm around your age, and I was really fascinated with the show. I was fascinated with Gary Coleman, but I think like right when you came on the show was really when I started getting into it, because that was my time when I actually remember back to that point. And now Different Strokes is all over the place still. You can see reruns on – there's different channels like Antenna. There's DVDs.
Yeah.
Nick at Night had it on for a while. Are you still seeing royalties from Different Strokes?
Yeah. You know, every once in a while, a little check will float in. They get, like, less and less the more that they air.
Really?
So, you know, it's I can go out for a really nice dinner per season on the air these days. But, you know, I tell you, it was like I was watching it I think it was the Antenna TV. Like, my Facebook and, like, Twitter, like, got blown up one day. And I was like, God, it's got to be on somewhere. So I was, like, flicking around, and I found it, and we were sitting watching dinner. And it's really weird. It's like a very strange out-of-body experience, because it's like I kind of remember it, and I know that it's me, but I kind of don't remember it either.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, little things. It's, like, really weird watching yourself when you don't remember.
Well, how
exactly.
old were you when,
like,
you started the show?
I was 8, 9, and 10 when I did that.
Wow. So do you have any recollection of how the crew reacted to you? I mean, they were a set crew for, what, 5 seasons before that. Did they really treat you like a redheaded stepchild?
No, not at all. They were everyone was absolutely fantastic and was very welcoming and absolutely, they were wonderful.
Well, Gary Coleman always had that persona. The way kids identify with him is because he kind of resembled a child. You know, that's what I remember when I was a kid. I would think, oh, wow, he's like me, only black. But I would think, like, here he is. He's got to be like us. And meanwhile, he's probably 30-something when he's on the show. Did he have, seeing that now you took the cute factor over, do you think there's any resentment at all?
No, I felt like quite the opposite, I think. I think he was sort of at that point, because he was older, you know, than he looked. So I think that it was sort of a relief to him that he didn't have to do the little brother things anymore. He could do the big brother type of things. And, you know, I was the one getting squirted with the water bottle doing the bed wetting, you know. He could be the little bit more mature parts.
Although him,
yeah, he could be the big brother as opposed to the little brother.
Him bedwetting at 30 was pretty awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, a lot of people have different stories. Like, I met Gary, and I mean, it depended on what day you met Gary. Like, one time I met him, and he was just absolutely fabulous. He was such a nice guy. And then one time I met him, and he was at an autograph signing. And I had friends that were there doing the signings, and I just went up to him at the end of the show and trying to make conversation and see if he remembered who I was. And he was just so nasty. And every person that came up to him afterwards, and this is after the thing was closed down, these are all like industry type people, and he was just the nastiest individual you can imagine. A lot of people have those stories. Do you think it was really just the whole toll that everything took on him, like between the parents and the publicity, and I mean, really back then.
I think that had some of the things to do with it, and I think a lot of that could have been just the fact that, you know, I mean, he had some like serious health issues. I mean, some days he just felt like shit.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you know, it's sort of a, I mean, he was absolute professional in the way of that. You know, no matter how sick he was, you wouldn't have known because the show went on. You know.
Yeah.
It's like he was a professional in the way that the show goes on, but at the same time, I mean, I'm sure there were times that he just felt horrible.
Really?
You know, and absolutely didn't want to be there, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and I think that, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
Well, what about, like, I remember seeing him on all these different shows, like the Inside Edition type shows, where he's saying that, you know, he was a virgin at 40 years old. You got to think, this guy probably at his height, not literally his height, but like the height of his fame, like he probably could have been surrounded by women 24/7 if he wanted to. I mean, he was one of the most famous, most recognized
people.
Yeah,
he looked young, but star power is everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I can't imagine how it could be possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That I was not privy to.
Well, do you think, like, you've been around him, do you think he was just like an asexual?
Oh, it wasn't.
Person?
I don't think it was for lack of trying.
Really?
No, no. He would get out there and get after it for sure.
Really?
What have you seen? Like, what's the craziest thing you've seen?
Oh no, he's like come to like parties and stuff at my house, and he's definitely not bashful.
Wow, interesting.
He would get out there and dance with the ladies.
See, I could always picture him because I always remember Janet Jackson. I was in love with Janet Jackson on that show, and I could just imagine him trying to. Well, I'm sure Todd Bridges tried, but come on, Arnold's the star of that show. He should be trying to mac it to Janet Jackson. Can you imagine the stories they could have had?
I remember she came back. She came back, I believe, for like the wedding episode.
Right.
I think she came back for that, and I remember that being pretty. That was a pretty big deal.
You ever have a crush on anyone on the show?
Not at that age, not really.
Come on, not even Kathy, the girl in the wheelchair?
No, not even Kathy, the girl in the wheelchair. Who is my friend on, I believe, Facebook.
Is she really?
I think so, yeah.
Someone actually wrote in a question when we said we have it on you in the show, having you on the show. Someone Twittered us. They wanted to know any truth to the rumor that the little girl Kathy in the wheelchair was a real bitch. I know someone who was on set and said she was a real arrogant bitch.
No, I don't remember that at all. I do remember sort of cruising around the lot. I think I like stand on the back of her chair and she would like, you know, cruise around.
I thought you were gonna say you stole it. You stole it?
No, you couldn't really steal it.
I loved her. She's one of the most memorable people, and she's got a nice little charity which we'll be talking about later too, because she really does a lot of great things still. But one other character that everyone talks about, and I got a lot of emails about this one, the Gooch.
If
you had to cast the Gooch, who would the Gooch be?
Oh, my goodness. If you had to cast the Gooch, I don't know. I think the Gooch is like, it's like the thing in Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean? It's the each individual. It's you never quite know what's in the briefcase. You never quite know what the Gooch looks like, you know. To somebody, it could be like a midget clown. And to someone else, it could be, you know, like some giant man.
I just wish that he would totally expose the Gooch. Maybe one of the last episodes. But let's just say, you know, for sake of everything 80s is now being recast and rebooted and redone. If they came to you and they said, hey, we're going to redo Different Strokes in the year 2013, and you get to cast it, who do you think would make a good Mr. Drummond, a good Arnold?
Oh, wow. Gosh.
Give us the casting.
I want to say,
oh, wow.
Before them, Dana Plato.
Yeah.
Who would play her character?
Yeah.
Dana Plato. Oh, man. I don't think you can top the original. I don't think you could do that.
Well, you never can. That's what they keep trying to do in Hollywood.
Yeah,
I
they keep trying.
It.
I don't know,
yeah,
who, they
awful
would, I don't know who they. I mean, who would they get to play Gary? I mean, that's
probably Emmanuel Lewis is what I'm thinking. Well, like some really good CGI.
Really good. That's what they should do. They should just CGI the whole thing. that would be better.
Do you think there was any jealousy between or any rivalry between Emmanuel Lewis and Gary?
Not that I saw. I mean, they were both really confident and secure in themselves. I don't think so.
Who do you think would win in a fight?
I was trying to think if we were ever in the same place together. I can't remember if we were or not. But
I would
nothing.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Who do you think would win in a fight between those two?
I would have to put my money on Gary. He's got some pent up rage in there.
Oh, that's,
you know,
true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I just got a tweet right now that says the Gooch should have been like a Tupac hologram.
Oh yeah. It was Tupac.
If we did a reboot, it should be a black family adopting white kids.
Oh,
flip the script.
Yeah. Kind of
nice.
Like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah,
but
you could have Will
kid.
Smith be Mr. Drummond.
There we go. That's how
there
I.
There we go. See.
Awesome. They used to have.
And he could find a way to work his family into it and the whole thing.
You know it. You know Jaden would end up being Arnold somehow.
Oh.
Well, you know, there's a lot of very special episodes back on Different Strokes, and one that I remember intently was that Sam was kidnapped in an episode.
Yes, kidnapped. A very special two-part episode.
A very special episode. I just remember that as a kid. It was really kind of like frightening as a child. So I'm assuming while you're playing the character, do they take you aside and do they take extra precautions with you before shooting the episode?
No, I mean, as a production company, we had like security and stuff that was there. But I mean, not nothing specifically for the episode or anything like that. No.
I always think of that. I remember that one. And I remember, on Mr. Belvedere, Wesley got molested, and also Dudley with the bike.
Yeah. They had that on. That was it. See, I was a huge fan and watched Different Strokes like relentlessly. Yeah. Up until the point that I got, and then I, you know, even after I would watch it, but not, it's sort of like, you know, once you, or sort of watch the whole making of it, sort of, it spoils the thing, but I was a huge fan, like, of the show before I got on there.
I hear cop sirens in the background, and hopefully you're not pulling a Willis or a Todd.
Yeah, no, it's nothing, it's just, that's not for me, those sirens aren't for me.
Does it piss you off, though, when you hear the term former child star to describe yourself?
No, I mean, not really. I mean,
isn't everyone
a, you know, it is. It is what it is. It's like, you know.
Well,
that's nothing that bothers me now.
Well, it's funny because we had Jeremy Miller, who played Ben Seaver, the youngest child in Growing Pains.
Yeah.
We had him on a couple months back, and we were talking about what his social life must have been like back then when he's in his, like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And, you know, back in the day, we would have, like, little teen dances as a normal person. Like, if you're in middle school or if you're in, you know, elementary school, you hang out with the kids, you have your little dances and you get togethers and your sleepovers. And he was kind of describing, because you're in the industry and you're in Hollywood, you're kind of at these teen parties filled with child stars. Is that kind of the environment that you grew up in also?
Yeah, I mean, there was a guy named Alfie, and he used to put these things on, I want to say, Friday and Saturday nights, that was sort of, you know, the same thing with, like, DJs and dancing and stuff like that. And it was, you know, kind of a safe environment for it, because, you know, you never know. There was sort of security in the area, because where we filmed, it was like Facts of Life, Different Strokes, Silver Spoons, the Jeffersons didn't have any kids, but Who's the Boss was right there. So there was a lot of shows with kids on it. So there was a lot of, you know, we were watched closely.
How did you not, like, just attach yourself to Alyssa Milano's leg or breath?
Yeah, she was back. She was good. She was good back in the day.
She's still good right now.
Yeah.
I want to know, do you have any advice for the young stars today? Because there's so many. It seems like, with a few exceptions, you know, Todd Bridges, they're most of the young stars from your generation didn't have that many problems. They're not in the news all the time. Now it's the Lindsay Lohans and you know, Britney's not much in the news anymore. But all the young stars today have
Amanda
all
Bynes,
these problems. Yeah, Amanda Bynes lately. Do you have any advice for them?
Is this, you know, what? I think it has more to do with, I think the media coverage of everything is so, like, ridiculous that it's like any and everything. I mean, if back in the 80s, if they had the amount of, like, media coverage and, you know, the Twitters and the Facebook and everything, all that stuff like that that they had now, and cable networks dedicated to it, that I'm sure you would have seen a lot more.
So you think it's just as bad, it's just that we see more of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no escaping from it these days. The amount of like paparazzi that surrounds people like that is enough to drive you bonkers. And some of them definitely go bonkers.
It's sad that, like, you know, now you think of teen stars, and the first thing that popped in my mind, and I did like a little town survey today, a couple people I asked, hey, let's talk about teen celebrities, and the first thing they said was Teen Mom, that chick from Teen Mom who did the porno. I'm like, really? Like, there's no sitcom anymore. To me, I feel like the sitcom is dead, and now we're just dealing with reality, which kills me.
But it's
which
not
is not
reality.
It's crazy.
No, yeah, it's like the fake reality. And the next thing will be like the fake. Well, it's like The Office is a fake reality of reality. It's like,
exactly.
How many phases can we go through now?
Exactly. But it's
the fake reality of the fake reality of the fake reality. That's the next thing.
Yeah. It just sucks that the sitcom is dead, you know, and it just kills us. But I need to know, like, when you're on one of the, if not the biggest show at that time frame, ratings-wise, and you're on, like, TV Guide, and you're on covers of magazines, you're in magazines, is there a moment when, as a kid, you're like, holy crap, I'm famous?
Yeah, I mean, there was definite times. I mean, I did with the whole, like, fact that I like saying country music, I did a lot of appearances and things like that. And there was some definite times where things got a little crazy. I was in Washington, D.C. I think, I want to say it was like maybe even for like the Easter egg roll at the White House or something like that. And went over to the Air and Space Museum there. And there was just a ton of, like, school field trips. Like, it was just a lot of kids that were there at the museum. And things got, like, crazy. And it was, like, ended up having, like, security came. And it was, like, I, like, turned around and my mom was on the other side. It was, like, you know, this guy came up and said, don't worry, come with us and you're safe. It was, like, it just got, like, crazy.
Wow. So
that was pretty cool. And then we got to go, you know, like, kind of tour around the museum in private later on, which was really cool.
I was going to say, what was the best perk that stays in your mind that being famous gave you? What is the best perk or best experience or best memory?
Just, I mean, you know, it's sort of as a, not necessarily a specific thing, but like little things that I, especially as an adult, I can sort of look back on and go, wow, that was really, like, I got to, you know, go into the White House. I got to sing the national anthem at Dodger Stadium a few times. That was really cool. Doing different things. I did like the Kentucky Derby, you know, I did that one year.
Wow.
And it was like all those little things that you just go, wow, that's really cool. And just different people. It's like Milton Berle was a guest star on Different Strokes. It's like looking back and going, wow, that's really, you know, I've worked with Milton Berle. That's crazy. You know what I mean? I did a thing with Don Rickles once. I got to meet Johnny Cash. It's like,
wow.
You know, just little things like that.
Oh,
but I go,
Johnny
like, that's,
Cash,
you know, that's awesome. Johnny Cash called me old school. Like, how fucking cool is that?
That is awesome. I can't imagine anything being better than that. Like, that's like,
yeah,
the
I mean, that's,
thing.
You know.
That, yeah, to me, that's the coolest one of all of them you said.
And Milton Berle, I mean, his penis is probably the size of Arnold. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I did.
Back in those days, I didn't know, but now I would, you know, have to ask him about his cock or something. You know?
I hope not, because that would be a very special episode right there.
That would have been a very special episode.
Arnold and Milton Berle discuss the sizes of their cocks. It's funny because although we don't really see you so much on TV, you've been around forever doing really high-profile voice work. Got to talk about that. Is there a lot of competition for voice acting? Do you go on auditions, or are you like one of those go-to guys now?
You know, it's sort of a small little group. You know, I mean, it seems like I've worked with the same people forever. You know, and luckily I've been able to sort of get in that, infiltrate that little group and you know, and have some pretty steady work. And it's so much fun. It's like, it really shouldn't be a job.
No,
they shouldn't pay us, and thank God they do, but they really shouldn't, because it's a joke as far as, of, I mean, it is just, it's too much fun.
But just for everyone out there, I mean, you've done everything from big video games to like The Lorax, which came out, I think last year, which was a movie. So you're doing, I mean, the Little Mermaid cartoon you were a part of. There's so much stuff. If you look at your IMDb, it's like, holy shit, this guy's done like everything.
He's done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I want to say I started like probably like the last year of Different Strokes. I was around 10 and just doing like little, I mean, they, you know, I had like the little kid voice, and then I had the Southern accent. So that always factored in, and I did a lot of stuff with like Hanna-Barbera. Then the voice changed, and I started doing like bully roles and stuff like that, and just hung in there. And
where did that country voice go, though? Where did that southern voice go? You have no accent. Well, you sound like L.A.
No, I don't.
You
know, if I was to talk with, you know, one of my relatives, I would be – I'd sound like a hillbilly in like 2 seconds. It's funny. I was actually doing an audition for something, a cartoon or something, who knows, not too long ago. And I was listening back to it going, God, my southern accent is horrible. Like, it was bothering me so bad. I was like, I got to call my cousin or something. And, you know, I just spend 5 minutes on the phone and re-record this because it's just, it's really bad.
Can you still do that Southern accent?
I mean, I guess if you you know, you could bring out the draw, I guess, you know. It's really, see, that's the thing. When I think about it, it's horrible. But then even my wife says, I'll get on the phone with, you know, my family. And most of my family still lives in Oklahoma. And she'll be like, you know, you're really talking like a hick right now. I'm sorry. You know. I also got a friend that lives in New York, and if I talk to him, I end up, you know, I sound like I'm on The Sopranos after all of a sudden. So yeah, I guess that's why I do voiceovers.
Can you do one real quick for us? Actually, we got this requested. Can you do G. Arnold in your old school Southern voice?
G. Arnold? I guess that would be it. Mr. D would probably be better because I had the SH for whatever reason. It wasn't Mr. D, it was Mr. D, and so that worked.
Mr. D creeped me out. But anyway, we got so many people waiting on hold to talk to you. Let's take some calls real quick. We have Tanya in Houston, Texas. Tanya on the line.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Danny?
Yeah.
Hi, I just have two quick questions. What is the biggest misconception or rumor that you've read or heard about you in the past few years?
The biggest misconception? There was one thing that came out, I think it was on, I don't remember where it was from, but it was a website, or it may even still be listed somewhere, that I'm like 6'1". And that is a very bad misconception because I'm 5'3". I appreciate it, but they're off by about a foot.
Oh, and also I'm interested to know if you have cut your mullet.
You know, it depends on the day. It depends on the day. Sometimes I rock it and let it grow out long, and then sometimes, you know, I'll get rid of it. It's been rocked on occasion.
Keep
not
it long.
I don't rock it as hard as I did in 92. It's a subtler, more refined mullet. It's not the power mullet of 92. But, you know, every once in a while I'll let it get there.
The women are calling you tonight, so I got to ask you, who is the most famous woman that ever hit on you?
Hello?
Yeah, the most famous woman that ever hit on you.
You know, I have to say, there's never a famous woman that's hit on me. I've never had that luxury.
I have to say, your wife is absolutely beautiful. I know she's an actress.
Oh, thank you so much.
She's gorgeous. I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm thinking you're going to keep your lips very sealed, but I can imagine back in the day with your fame, you were definitely getting some people to... definitely hitting on you, to say the least.
I had a good time. I had a nice time.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Vai put you half naked on an album cover. You got to get something.
You toured with Satriani, even if you got his scraps back in the day.
Well, touring with Satriani, you know, there's like no women there whatsoever. It's all dudes. I mean, let's be honest.
It's all guys with mullets.
It's all guys. Yeah, guitar players.
He got me there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Paul from Australia. Paul, you're on the line.
No, thank you so much, Matty. How you doing, mate? It's nice to talk to you, mate.
You too, mate.
I just want to just shout out a bit of love to you, and I appreciate all your work. I'm a big fan, mate. Thank you very much. Thank you, Matty.
No problem.
Thank you, man.
All the way from Australia. All the way from Australia.
Australia,
right.
Nice. Never been there.
Let's go to Brendan from New York. Brendan, you're on the line.
Yeah, did Danny Pintaro ever hit on you?
Wait, say again?
Danny Pintaro, Jonathan from Who's the Boss? Did he ever
hit on me? No, he didn't. He was always a gentleman.
What a question.
All right.
All right. I got some email questions here. I got from Sarah in New Jersey. Do the carpets match the drapes?
Oh, hell yeah. Fire crotch all the way, baby.
I got from Tony from North Dakota. What was with Arnold and Checkers?
What was with Arnold and Checkers?
Arnold
don't understand.
I think Arnold used to play Checkers all the time on the show.
I don't remember.
That. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess it was probably the easiest prop they had.
This is a good.
If you lose a chess piece, you're screwed. You know, you get checkers is easy.
I got
put a bottle cap down.
I got Samantha actually from New Jersey. Also wrote, Can you give a reason why Todd Bridges was such a bad guest on the Matty P show?
I don't know. I didn't hear the appearance.
Oof, you better duck after that one.
Josh is from Pennsylvania. He wanted to know, if you could bring one cast member back from the dead, who would it be?
Oh, that'd be Gary. He's too funny.
Yeah, I agree.
That's pure entertainment.
I got one. F, marry, kill. We play this game all the time. You F one, you marry one, you kill one. You got Mrs. Garrett, Pearl, and Adelaide.
Let's see. Mrs. Garrett. I would marry Pearl because she's the woman is a sweetheart. I'd have to kill Adelaide because I think I had met her once. And I
no
and I guess does. I'd have to fuck Mrs. Garrett. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want to, but you know, you got to do what you got to do, and you know, I just have to give it to her.
Freaky.
Yeah, she probably was. She probably was.
Especially with a name like Edna.
I got a question. I heard you were on an episode of MacGyver.
Yeah.
So if I gave you a pixie stick, a paper clip, and a dildo, can you get me out of a Mexican prison?
Yeah, I think I probably could. I think I probably could with those items.
Awesome. So what's next on your plate, man? What are you doing next?
Let's see. Right now I'm finishing up another musical project that I've been working on. Should be next, you know, sometime this late summer coming out. And, you know, just doing the voiceovers and stuff like that and, you know, just trucking along.
What's the music thing called? Is it
Sheltered Right? No, it's not. It's not Bad for Good. Although it is the drummer that plays in is playing drums on it. It's called Shelter Dogs. And that's pretty much it for right now.
And how can people get in touch with you? I know people are going to want to hit you up on the social media. Why don't you plug your
Facebook
and Twitter?
Facebook and Twitter. I'm at what I think I'm trying to think. I think I'm just at Danny Cooksey at Twitter. And by the same, I'm not hidden on Facebook either. Although there are a few fake ones. It's a picture of me. I think it's a picture of me with the Lemmy beard. So in case there's a bunch of, if you see one where it's me with a Lemmy beard, that, you know, that would be the correct one.
Hey, if you don't know what a Lemmy beard is, you're listening to the wrong show.
And Google it.
That's right.
Google it. Danny, thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. We had a great time with you.
Right on, man. You guys take care.
Take care, brother.
Later.
Awesome. Good guest.